Welcome to the Evolve Live Podcast. I am Howard Holley, publisher of Evolve Magazine. Each podcast offers listeners an inside view about the issues, challenges, and opportunities business owners, entrepreneurs, and civic leaders face from a variety of voices, with a focus on overcoming adversity as a key component of achieving success. Our guest today is Al Perkinson, owner and founder of Bajio Sunglasses in New Smyrna Beach. He began his career in advertising with the New York agency Ogilvy & Mather. In 2000, he started working with sunglass manufacturer Costa Del Mar and eventually headed up the company's marketing department, where he helped grow the company's brand from $6 million to $160 million. I definitely want to peel that onion with him. In April of 2021, he launched Bajio Sunglasses in Daytona Beach. Welcome, Al.
Thanks, Howard. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So let's start off. Tell me about the name. You know, I've got to start there.
Yeah, it is kind of an unusual name. And when we picked it, we knew that it was going to be not easy for Americans to pronounce. But we loved the name so much that we went with it, and it's been a lot of fun. Bajio is it's Spanish for the shallows, and it's sort of an old Mexican term, and it's for that, you know, the low country, whether it's the saltwater marsh or the bayou or the saltwater flats in the Bahamas. But it's that part of the ocean where the young fish sort of are born and grow up. It's like the nursery of the ocean. Mm-hmm. And so it's super important to protect those if we want to protect our oceans. And so the Bajio is where we live, where we play, and what we're trying to protect. So that's where the name came from.
That's neat. I like the name. I think it's a great choice. So let me ask you this, Al. Who in their right mind starts a business in the middle of a pandemic?
Nobody. although I have to say, I have something in common with Scarlett Johansson, the actress.
Well, that's a good connection. I'd like to hear more about that.
Well, it's not much of a connection, but she started a business during the middle of a pandemic as well, and it's a new cosmetic business she was talking about. So I think we probably had similar experiences. But, we didn't plan to start it during the pandemic. We sort of started a little bit before it hit, and then it hit, and we just kept plowing through and didn't know how it was going to turn out or work out, but thankfully it did.
That's something I want to talk about. A lot of people think when someone says they started their business in April of 2021, as I said, that's really when it started. But truthfully, you had to start before then to actually launch at that time. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we started, I think we made the decision to start probably late 2019. Mm-hmm. And, I'd been at Costa for 17 years, amazing experience, built that brand, and then it got bought by a giant company, and they ended up closing down the facility in New Smyrna Beach, or in Daytona Beach, mm-hmm. and letting go 300 people. But I saw that coming, didn't know it was going to be that bad, but saw it coming and decided to leave, and moved out to Montana, and then we moved to Charleston. And so we'd had a couple of stops trying to find the right thing to do, sort of the next thing to do. And, just finally decided, hey, if we really want to do the things we want to do, pursue the mission that we had, the only way to do that is to have our own company. So we hatched the idea at the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, and went out and started raising money. And then the pandemic hit, and everybody put their wallets away. and so we had to sit there in Charleston in our house and for 3 or 4 months and just wait. But during that time, it was really cool because it was, the early days of the pandemic, it wasn't all bad. People were mm-hmm. rediscovering their families mm-hmm. and their homes and their yeah. communities. And so we had a lot of think time and just sort of reimagined this whole brand, the whole company during that period, then launched it, went out and raised money again in July of 20. And then we knew we wanted to be in market the spring of 21. That's when the opportunity was. Mm-hmm. So then we crammed 18 months of product development into 6 months, and somehow we're able to launch in the spring of 21. So that's sort of the timeline that happened. But it was a lot of work before we actually sold the first pair, for sure.
And I think people, you know, they hear something launched in April 2021, but your comment about what you had to do to get there. I've got two questions as a result of that. One is, you said if we wanted to achieve our mission and accomplish what we wanted to do, what was that?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I personally believe that businesses can be used as a force for good, whether mm-hmm. it's addressing societal issues or environmental issues, whatever those might be. But, you know, I'm a big fan of Patagonia and companies like that who have really said businesses can do more than just make money. Mm-hmm. You know, they can really be a force for good in society. And I think that's what we believe. And when I was at Costa, I had the luxury being on the executive team and, you know, having a lot of autonomy to do the things that I wanted to do. We were able to invest in a lot of conservation projects and do, whether it was kick plastic for trash cleanup, or it was project permit for protecting permit, or, you know, we started a foundation, all that really cool stuff we were able to do. And then when we left, other brands wanted us to come in and do what we had done at Costa for them, but they didn't really have the commitment to it. They didn't understand that it's not a marketing tactic. It's like a whole company's commitment. And so, you know, after a couple of tries with a couple of companies, you know, that's when we concluded that, hey, if we want to really pursue the things that we want to pursue that we think are important, which are around, you know, bringing young people into the outdoors and protecting the nurseries that we just talked about, that the ocean conservation issues, that if we really wanted to put the full force of the company behind those things, we needed to own the company. And so that was really the motivation for us starting it.
But at the same time, you mentioned that you went out for a capital raise and get investment. So you must have structured that in a way that allowed you to retain. Did you go venture capital, angel investor? What was your approach to raising the capital you needed?
Well, I think the investors, in my mind, are really important. You know, they're a part of the company, really. They're not employees, but they're part of our ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that they shared the same values and beliefs that we did. And so we went for individual people, angel investors. And we found people, almost every single investor we have loves to fish and believes in conservation. So we're all of the same mind, which is really important.
I think that is. You know, this is a discussion that isn't held enough, isn't it? You know, to learn from your experience about things like this. And this is why we try to touch on it here. But, but as you came out in April of 2021, you know, at around that time, I would say we thought the pandemic was coming to an end. Would you agree?
We did. And it is just drug on forever.
So I'm wondering, when I take a look at your business and the growth that you're realizing in spite of the continued pandemic, what would you attribute that to? Would you say it would have been even greater had the pandemic not dragged on, or did you overachieve because of the alignment and culture that you're building at Bahia?
Well, I think culture is everything, and you know, the brand starts internally, and then it emanates out from there. So I don't think you can separate external from internal. It all needs to feel consistent. As far as the pandemic goes, you know, fishing and the outdoors have kind of been a beneficiary of the pandemic. And so people were able to get out on the water during the pandemic and or get out in the woods, and they would do that with their families. And so there was a huge influx of new people into the fishing and outdoor space that has really helped a lot of the companies that are in that industry. The problem is most of them were running out of product, and they couldn't get new product. So when I talk to my friends at other outdoor companies, they're like, man, we have sold out of everything. The problem is we can't get anything new. So we were super lucky, super fortunate to be able to get product. And so that was very important to our success as well.
Being in the right place at the right time, you know, is such a critical element of success. But one of the other elements is what you learn from in the failures and challenges that you overcome. Tell me about that. You know, a lot of people hear about your ad agency background and the success at Costa Del Mar and your current success, and they probably would say he hasn't faced any challenges, hasn't had any adversity. Would that be an accurate assumption for them to make?
That's funny. Yeah, my life has been nothing but adversity, I think, in a lot of ways. You know, I think anytime you achieve something, you've got, in my experience, it's hard work. It doesn't just get dumped in your lap. And hard work means not only doing stuff that might be intellectually challenging or something that might be creatively challenging, but it also means battling those forces that are trying to prevent you from succeeding. And it, because it's all about limited resources, and people want to, you know, take stuff. They don't want to give stuff up, and they want to take stuff away from you. So there's been a lot of adversity over the years. When I, you know, as I mentioned, when I left Costa in end of 2016, and I went to work in Montana for a big fishing company, Sims. Well, I was there for a couple of years and, you know, just worked my tail off and was very successful at doing all the things they wanted me to do. And then, you know, they said one day, they were like, Al, this is the day that you and Sims are parting company. I'm like, what are you talking about? We've been incredibly successful. And they're like, yeah, you know, you've done a 3-year plan for us. You've given us all of your ideas. Now we're going to take it from here. We don't need you anymore. And I was like, what? I just moved my family to freaking Montana. What are you talking about?
Right.
So that, you know, that's a blow to the ego, and it's a blow to, you know, on many levels. And then, you know, I did consulting for a couple of years and then started working with a company called Hook. And, sort of the, you know, same kind of deal. Worked for a year, 18 months with those guys, and it was just kind of a mess. And that didn't work out the way I wanted it to either. So after a lot of success and then, you know, 4 years of not that great of success and a couple of failures, you know, you start to doubt yourself. So I definitely had a lot of self-doubt and was kind of down. But and a lot of my friends were like, what the heck's wrong with you, man? I thought you were like rock star. Right. What happened? And so in those moments, you just kind of have to look deep inside yourself and, you know, have a talk with yourself and say, look, get up off, you know, get back on your feet and charge on to the next thing. And that's just kind of what I did. And luckily had the support of my wife and, you know, some close friends, and everybody eventually jumped in to help. So,
That's a great story. And, you know, of course, I was being facetious about people looking at it. But the truth of the matter is people do think like that. They don't really peel the onion back or look behind the curtain to see how did this person really achieve success. And that's one of the things that we like to do on here, because the stories are interesting. I've probably only had one person that didn't have adversity or challenge that they could tell me about. That's how you achieve success, is by overcoming the adversity challenge and learning from that. So the other interesting thing, and oh, by the way, I want to comment about headwinds, because that's the word that we used to use. That's an ongoing challenge. It's not looking at it as a barrier, but thinking about it as headwinds that really keep you from moving as fast or as far as you would like, but you've got to keep pushing against those headwinds, and they come from so many different places. So I think you characterize that pretty well. But before we begin to wrap up here, I wanted to ask you about the expansiveness of your operation so far. What would you attribute that to? You're in a number of different countries, a number of different markets, and people are carrying your product. Tell me how you've achieved that and what another entrepreneur could learn from you in that regard.
Well, I think the timing of our launch was really important. And we saw that, you know, at the end of 19, when Luxottica bought Costa and closed the plant and fired 300 people, that they were making significant changes in a business that had been very successful. Mm-hmm. And some of the victims of those changes weren't just those 300 people that got fired, but all the retailers, the thousands of retailers mm-hmm. that they had, that they sort of turned their back on, because mm-hmm. they have their own retail distribution. They have Sunglass right. Hut, they have all Bass Pro Shops and all these other owned distribution channels. And so our specialty retailers out there, the tackle shops, the sunglass shops, they were pretty angry. And so they were, I don't know, they were just very responsive to our story. They love the idea that we're independent, and so we're free to give great customer service and to invest in customer service, that we make our products here in the Smyrna Beach so we can turn around an order in 24 to 48 hours. And we wanted to do it that fast. So they were just super responsive. They knew that we knew what we were doing, because we had so much experience, you know, in the sunglass industry. And so they had confidence that we were going to be able to deliver on what we said we were going to deliver on. But they just made a choice to go away from that big giant that really didn't care about them to a smaller company that was local, that did. So in the first year, we've been able to sign over 600 retailers, and they pretty much come to us. And then we're already in, you know, 59 countries as well.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, many of us share that the definition of an entrepreneur is a problem solver. And what you just described was the problem that existed that you were able to solve, which has led to the growth of your business. So
yep.
That's an important uptake for everyone to pay attention to. Al, I've enjoyed the time with you and the conversation. We could go on and on, but we're going to have to bring this to an end. I want to thank you for being on Evolve Live and the podcast, and wish you continued success. And I look forward to coming down and getting an autographed pair of sunglasses.
All right. Sounds great, Howard. Thanks for having me, man.
Take care, everyone. And thank you for joining us today. We welcome your feedback and suggestions. Let us know what you think at editor@evolve-success.com. Visit our website, evolve-success.com. Thank you again to Al Perkinson and everyone. Please take care out there. Bye-bye.